Around Football, you get it. July 31st, Hall of Fame game, Lions and Chadges.
That's right. This week, Thursday, baby.
That's right. Thursday night football. Can't wait.
Over under on 8 plays that you will watch in that game. One series for each team is how I came up with 8.
Game starts at what, like 6:30 probably?
Oh, that
or
early?
Like that. Yeah. I don't know. They normally get it going pretty early, I would think.
I'm going to guess a 7 o'clock central time start just because that's kind of the way we do things, or maybe 7:20 or something of that nature. But over under of total plays you will watch in that game of 8. I'll give you the hook. I'll give you 8.5. Mm. You going over or under? Probably. Nathan?
Under for me. Okay. The only preseason football I'll be watching will be Chiefs football.
Okay.
I think I'd rather watch Rangers and Mariners at 8:40.
Oh, okay.
Or Braves and Reds at 6:10.
Yeah.
There's only 3 MLB games on Thursday. One of them is at noon. It's Rays and Yankees.
Okay.
Then the other two are the ones I previously mentioned.
Right.
So for the NFL, over under 8.5 plays. Boy, that seems like a really, really, really good time.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock is when it starts. That sounds like a really good time to catch up on some more Netflix documentaries,
right,
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will watch the introductions. I will watch all that because I assume Goff won't play. I assume Herbert won't play. But who knows? That quarterback or that coach for the Chargers is a nut job.
Right.
So maybe he's got all his guys out there. We know Najee Harris won't play.
Well, the one thing you did miss last week is Cincinnati is going to be using more of the preseason now to play their players because of the way that they've started the last few seasons being very bad in the month of September.
And
so maybe we'll see that more. But I mean,
the starters will play the first quarter for the Chiefs.
That's right. And then they won't. And so 8.5. I'm going to take the over on that because I think it's one of those situations, Dusty, and we've all been there. You forget to change the channel. So that's why you take it. And then all of a sudden you realize I'm watching 22 players on a football field that I've never heard of before.
I will say I'll probably do the over because there's nothing on. It starts at 7, so that's like prime dinner time.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like stuck watching whatever I'm watching. I got nothing going on. It's going to be a beautiful day on Thursday, like 77 degrees.
It's supposed to be a nice day at the end of the week.
It seems like a good steak day.
Yeah.
If you could,
steak day at Hy-Vee on Thursdays too. Your $12 steak.
You
get your taters. You get your veggie. Yeah. You got to go.
It's twice.
I know. I was going to say, oh, brother. I was going to channel my inner Hulk Hogan right there, but he's passed.
R.I.P. Yeah. Terry Barella, is that how you say his last
name? I never knew that in my
entire life.
No, I never looked it up. I never thought.
It's crazy.
He does look like a Terry, though. I mean, like, you know, he kind of fits the mold of a Terry. I don't know
or
why.
Or Karen. I kid. It's too soon. So if you were to call Joshua Simmons a steak, what kind of steak is he? Oh,
okay, so I'm going to be very honest with you. Right now, to me, he's the Denver cut at Booth Creek Wagyu. Okay, you're going to get a perfect steak, perfectly marbled, big enough to feed your entire family of four.
Now with 2 locations. That's
exactly right. 95th and Nall and 135th and Metcalf, right? And so you've got the Denver cut steak. It's a perfect steak. You don't need a lot of it, but you know, man, this is really, really good. And I think that's kind of where we are with Josh Simmons right now. We don't need a lot of seeing Josh Simmons. We know he's really, really good right now. What steak are you going with?
I'm going to say he's your like cowboy ribeye.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay.
There's a big,
that's the one with the big bone,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
That got
me excited.
Got a big bone on it. Got a little bit of fat you got to trim.
Yeah.
But you're not worried about it. You can eat that gristle. That's what that is. There's a little bit of gristle on it.
Ribeye, you can do the gristle. It's okay. Yeah.
It's a weird texture.
Yep.
But it can be chewed. And you can put up with it. And I think the gristle on Simmons is the college experience turning pro, the, you know, lackluster of what was there when it came to maybe reading things on the edge. But now that the fact that he's apparently not as injured as people thought, maybe he's better than people thought.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're always like a lot of people when they see the cowboy ribeye on the menu or the big bone tomahawk ribeye.
Yeah,
I think
tomahawk.
It's called,
yeah.
The tomahawk makes sense in Kansas City. They look at it, they're like, you're just paying for the bone. I'm going to pass. And then you look at somebody that gets it across the way, and you're like, I bet that's pretty good. I'll try it just once. Well, the Chiefs ordered the tomahawk ribeye late in the 28th pick or whatever it was, and or the last pick or whatever he went. And they said, you know what? We'll take it. And now everybody else looks around and says, I should have taken that steak.
Yep.
I know it's a big sell. I know a lot of people are like, you're just paying for the bone. You're not getting enough meat. Now everybody else is going, damn, they got that? I wish I'd have got it. And the Chiefs are like, well, there was only one on the menu. We went ahead and took it. You had your chance, Philadelphia. Right.
You guys had the early reservation. You had the early bird. Nobody wanted to take
that
steak.
Everybody else read the menu.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs took a flyer on it. And now all of a sudden, they've got enough meat to hand out. And now all of a sudden, the biggest focus in camp that we were looking at from a standpoint of, again, one day of pads. They'll be back there today. Cody and Gold, 10 to 2, mm-hmm. live in St. Joe. Take your towels, Cody and Gold. Now all of a sudden, there you go. It's there. We'll see what it is, and I'm excited to see it because now it's not, oh, we're going to see if he can actually play. We're going to see if he can actually, if he's injured. All these things that are living up to it, so far, so good.
So
and
far,
I know
so
it's
good.
One day yep. in pads, but let's see if that happens.
But there's also, it's just so far, so good. Like, there are three people competing for the right tackle job, and nobody is competing with Josh Simmons right now on the left tackle side. And that, to me, is the most eye-opening thing. Nathan, I want to get your stake, too. Where do you have this?
I mean, I was also thinking about something big with a bone, just a big old cut of meat. I was thinking Porterhouse. Mm-hmm. But, Dusty, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not interested in that whole, like, are you paying for the bone? Are you paying for whatever? You know what the Chiefs have not had at left tackle is a big cut of meat with a bone in it that maybe has a little bit of gristle in it, like that, you know, can take one of those premier edge rushers one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about value. That's what I wanted at left tackle.
So. Right. So you're going to overspend and you're willing to pay for the gristle and the bone and absolutely. All that kind of stuff to make sure it's exactly what you want. Yeah. And that's what they did. And really it does go to show you how good he's performing that. You now have three people competing for the tackle spot on the right side, which is good. It's going to make everybody better. You know, you got Jalen Moore. You've got, obviously, Juwan Taylor at that spot, who all of a sudden is now off the physically unable to perform list, which funny how fast that happened, right? You know, physically unable to perform, guys kind of slowly work back in. They don't want to deal with training camp. And even we saw Juwan Taylor kind of at the beginning of camp talk a little bit about, you know, let the young guys get some work in. I've been there. It's going to be okay. And now all of a sudden, Juwan Taylor's like, I better get out there and play because Jalen Moore may take my spot. So I've got to go out there and battle now at that right tackle spot for a job. And competition is good. Competition breeds success for a lot of people. And so we'll see the best man win. And now all of a sudden, whoever doesn't win that right tackle spot, now you've got a swing guy that can play on the left side. You've got a swing guy that can play on the right side. And you can go truly three, maybe even four deep potentially at that tackle spot. And that's great news for Patrick Mahomes because the number one goal of this offseason was to fix that offensive line. And by God, you signed Trey Smith to a long-term deal. You've got your left tackle seemingly figured out right now. You've created great competition at the right tackle spot. Like, everything is going good for this team right now. And we're not the only ones talking about it. It's been kind of the national story of camp of, oh my God, the Chiefs have found a left tackle now. What are we going to complain about? What's everybody going to bitch about now that the Chiefs have solidified their left tackle spot? Like, there's nothing holding them back that the national media can pick on right now.
And again, the texts that say he hasn't done anything, we haven't seen anything. Look, we're one day into camp, and the biggest concern in this draft pick, if you'll just go back and listen to before, was, is he going to be healthy enough to play? Is he going to be able to break camp with he's practicing with the number ones.
Right.
He's showing signs of being a starter, and he was injury scared in the draft. So, yes, it is okay to have these conversations about a guy that, yeah, we haven't seen him play in a live game.
Right.
Thank you for the obvious. Yeah, it's been one day in pads. Thank you very much. But again, this is the most important position on this team outside of quarterback. It's not an injured player. He's practicing with the ones. And from anybody and everybody that's covering the team, from Nate Taylor to Pete Sweeney to Josh Briscoe to whoever the hell else is out there, everyone's conversation is, as of right now, after one day in training camp, it with the pads on, it looks like Josh Simmons is fitting the part. So, yes, overreactions and camp cliches, that's going to come back soon,
yeah,
right?
Probably. Yeah, we should.
Got to have that coming back. The British lady's going to be tuning up soon.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what you want to see. Instead of, well, could you imagine if he wasn't practicing? Do you guys know what that conversation would be?
Oh, my God, we'd be overreacting to that. Right, yeah, right.
Way to take a stretch on a left tackle. Right. You can't play.
Right, yeah. So
no.
That's what people would be doing if he wasn't playing well, right? They swung and missed. They reached and didn't get a reach, you know, from Veach or something like
they
that.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't
I mean, you want to talk about aging like fine wine? That's not. That's aging like that. That's aging like a box of wine, man. That's Franzia there.
There's nothing wrong with that. Slap the bag.
He's a gallon of milk, dude.
He went from that to this.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Binkley's take, not aging well. You're right, like a gallon of milk that's been sitting in the refrigerator for a while, right?
Or the
like
sun.
The hell is this? Sorry, Jay. We love you.
No, yeah, for sure. He'll be on the show on Wednesday like he always is at 6:45. But, I mean, you hear that, and then you hear about how, like, Mike Dana talks about the offensive line during the plays.
I mean, you just got to gut it out, man. You know, there's no looking for subs. There's no, you know, looking for ways out, you know. You just got to realize that, you know, this is the time to dig deep. This is the time to grow. You know, you coach emphasize, you know, growing in uncomfortable situations. That's all that long drive drill is. It's just uncomfortable. Your body's tired. Your body's exhausted. You want to see who's going to dig deep, who's going to keep going.
And you know who did? Joshua Simmons.
Josh Simmons did, man. He went out there and lit it up. And I read something geeky the other day. I think it was on Nate Taylor's piece on ESPN talking about the way he was like, you know, he knew what to do in certain situations already. Like he watched, I think it was Mike Dana drop back in the pass coverage. And so he knew who to block and who to take on and, you know, kind of what he was supposed to do in those situations. And you think about those type of things like physical. Yeah, he's going to be just fine. It's the mental side of things for a lot of these guys and figuring out the playbook and whatnot. And if he's already doing that kind of stuff on day one, and he's out there, and he has no competition. Yeah, he's a lot more advanced than anybody thought he was going to be, and this is going to turn out, so far, to be a great pick by Brett Veach. I'm not going to sit around and say, oh, let's wait and see what happens. This is the excitement of camp right now, and I'm going to bask in the excitement of camp because I want to be excited about what's going on in St. Joe.
And don't forget, live in St. Joe today, Cody and Gold from 10 to 2. And also, join 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino on Friday, August 8th. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbooks inside Hollywood Casino. We'll be registering fans to win signed Charles Amenihu football plus a pair of tickets to Colts and the Chiefs. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 pen cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. until 6 a.m. And then a week from this Thursday, I believe it's Travis Kelce Day.
Yeah, that's right. August 7th. We're already here a week from this Thursday. Wow.
That's right.
I was thinking this morning when I walked in, it's August this week.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
Like, it is August this week. I mean, this year has just flown right by. I can't believe we're sitting here getting ready to go into August already and back to school. I feel like summer just started.
I'm about to be 38 in a week from this Thursday.
Wow.
But it's Travis Kelce Day here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, buyers or sellers? I don't think they're sellers. They're definitely telling you they're buyers. And more on Seth Lugo staying in Kansas City here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports. To give some reference on Joshua Simmons hype, this is from Daily Chiefs on Twitter or X. I don't think people fully grasp how brutal our left tackle play was last year. Out of 140 qualifying tackles on Pro Football Focus, the Chiefs' left tackles ranked 136th, 127th, and 106th. That's worse than 40-plus backups and some third strings. Even an average Josh Simmons would be a massive upgrade. So
no doubt, yeah.
There's why you have the hype around him.
And if you can't be excited about Josh Simmons after one day, like what are we doing here, right? Like that's what sports is supposed to be about. It's supposed to bring you hope. It's supposed to bring you fun. It's supposed to bring you joy. It's not supposed to bring you to the point of where you're just like, well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens and have that kind of attitude because, you know, that's not why sports exists. It exists for us to have some fun with. And if our football team, who is the best, I believe, in the NFL, has now found that missing piece that has kind of held us back, you know, for the last couple of years from the offense that we've wanted to see out there, and this guy's going to allow Patrick Mahomes to have fun and go downfield again and bring back the deep ball and all that kind of stuff, why wouldn't you be excited about that? Who cares if it's one day camp? It's better than having one day at camp where he goes, well, he's not ready or he's injured. And then we're sitting here questioning, did they make the right decision? And it becomes a thing all training camp long. This is one storyline that's been eliminated. And that's what you want to do in training camp and in spring training. You want to remove those storylines. You want to eliminate those storylines and just focus on the things that are occurring down there. And now for the Chiefs, Dusty, I don't know what the biggest storyline in camp is anymore. I just don't.
Left guard.
Maybe. Yeah. But I mean, you know, Kingsley's playing there. Wanye's playing there. They're mixing guys in and out, doing their thing. Caliendo's backing up at center and guard. He's become a swing guy. Like all of these narratives are gone. And you mentioned left guard. That's such a minor thing, you know, like that tells you where we are as a franchise. It's a great day that Josh Simmons is playing well.
Yeah. Cause he does something that makes Patrick Mahomes and I say, all we need, Patrick Mahomes, I need 2 seconds.
That's right.
It's all he needs is 2 seconds more. And he can get that. Now, football also has amazing times in it with, like, quotes. And I don't know if you – did you hear Jameis Winston's over the weekend?
No.
Oh, boy.
How do you work that to try to lessen turnover?
The biggest thing is just the decision-making. Like, what is the decision? I'm not an outcome-based quarterback is like, what is the decision? If I threw an interception, was the decision right? Right? If I threw an incompletion, was the decision right? And don't worry about the outcome. Sometimes the outcomes can overweigh a lot of the stuff, and you know, people can have it. But what is my decision? If my decision is good, we can learn from that and we can grow from that.
I feel high. If I throw an interception, was the decision right? Clearly not.
Yeah, right. I mean, if it got picked off, you probably made the wrong decision.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Jameis Winston, we are in training camp, and we've already got one quote so far.
Oh, God, I love him. I really do.
And like, he's with the Giants, too.
Like when we had the scare last week with Justin Fields mm-hmm. going down, right, because it carted off and all this nonsense that these ball washers.
What
did
he do? Just, like, hurt his fingernail or toenail?
Sprained his toe. You know, nothing big, but,
running
you know,
on the field the next day.
What, yeah, exactly. What gets clicked? Schefter saying carted off or, you know, because.
With a lower leg injury.
Yeah, with a lower leg injury. That's what they said. Carted off with a lower leg injury, right, because that's, you know, again, the ball washers of the NFL trying to get people to click and retweet and do all that kind of stuff. But ultimately what it was a sore toe. But I'm like, well, if that is a carted off with a leg injury type thing, the Jets should trade for Jameis Winston. He's right there, man. I need more Jameis in my life.
No trading going on with the Royals outside of Randall Grichuk. And this was J.J. Bacolo on the trade.
Randall Grichuk was somebody we identified, even going back to the offseason. You know, when you look at really valuable right-handed bats that really dominate left-handed pitching, he's one of the more elite guys in the game. So looking at our team, as it stood yesterday, we had a lot of left-handed hitting outfielders, some that are very young. So it felt like it was the right fit for us, and Arizona was ready to move him, and we were prepared to make the deal. So glad that he's here today. He got pulled from the game in Pittsburgh last night. I spoke to him probably 5 to 10 minutes after that and said, hey, look, if you can get here tomorrow, you're in the lineup tomorrow. And he got here pretty early. So we'll see what he's got today, but we're excited to have him.
Well, he got a base hit in his first at bat.
Yeah,
so of
absolutely.
Course, like 106 off the bat. But that was one of the news over the weekend. Obviously, it doesn't really move the needle or give you movement of excitement, I don't think, just because you're like, Grichuk, like that guy, like the old vet, 35, mm-hmm. like he's joining the team. And then the news last night that breaks, Seth Lugo is going to be extended or is extended with the Royals organization. Look, there's many angles on this.
So many.
There's, okay, this season they're just going to stay competitive. Maybe they get that edge. Reagans comes back, and then you're back to Reagans, Lugo, Waka, and Cameron. That's your rotation going into the playoffs. Bubic obviously down. We don't know what the Reagan story is going to be. We would think that maybe by the mid-August he's back if this team is still in contention. If they're not, I would just say shut him down for the season, which then brings you back to next year and that angle that maybe this is just, hey, we're really beat up right now, but we're still somewhat in contention, 4 games out, 8 out of the division. Randomly, it was like 14, like a week ago. Detroit got lost. Who'd have thought Toronto would have the best record in baseball?
Well, I mean, that's weird. They play great baseball, man. They really do. And if Alejandro Kirk isn't your favorite baseball player at this point in time, like short, fat guy, you know, doing all those great things, like he should be every kid's idol, man. Like that Kirby Puckett was my idol, right? Short, fat kid playing center field, right? Alejandro Kirk should be every fat kid's idol right now.
Not Tony Gwynn?
No.
He was chubby a little bit.
He was, yes.
But no, I don't hate this move. I don't love the move, but I'm okay with the move. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. I'm like, okay, this is a good move for 26-27. What I really wanted to do, and we talked about this a little bit when you were gone last week, mm-hmm. was we thought Lugo was going to make his last start in Chicago, and that was kind of where we were last week, right? He made his last start for the Royals in Chicago, and now you trade him, and you get some bats to help you out. But then you start to have these injuries that have taken place in this rotation. And if you trade Seth Lugo, then now what are you going to do? Go get Dallas Keuchel down in the minor leagues and insert him into your rotation? That is a true waving of the white flag. Now, so what do you do, right? So I was all open to the fact of let's trade Lugo, get some bats back in return, and then re-sign Lugo in the offseason, right? Like you can do that. And that's what I thought the right move was going to be. Obviously, the Royals decided, you know what, Lugo wants to be here. Let's sign him up long term, keep him in here for the next couple of years. But it removes a big trade chip from you. And you don't have enough right now to compete with at the minor league level. I mean, you got a handful of guys probably in this organization. And you're probably going to have to pay with Carter Jensen if you want to get better at the big league level. And maybe the Royals aren't willing to do that type of move to, you know, to sacrifice going all in, if you will, this year by trading one of the few players that they have that's a tradable commodity right now down in the minor leagues. And so they're going to look for other ways to go about adding backs. Randall Grichuk is one of those guys. We saw Adam Frazier added in last week. They're not household names. They're not needle movers, but they're professional bats. And that's really what we've needed in this lineup for quite some time now, is just guys to go up there and give you that professional at bat. When you have a runner on base, they know how to knock that guy in. And so maybe that's the MO that the Royals are going to take. Try to still compete and stay alive this way by, I don't want to use the term piecemealing it together, but finding veteran guys that you don't have to overspend for in collateral to potentially come in here and then truly address this position of need in the offseason. And maybe that's where a Chris Bubich trade potentially comes
in. Yeah, because this year kind of seems like last year. But it's like, you look at like Grichuk and Frazier, and it reminds you kind of like Tommy Pham, yeah. Gurriel, those right. type of guys that are veterans that can get hits in key situations. And then maybe that gets you over the hump of having a guy on at second with nobody out. If it's not Tyler Tolbert getting picked off at second, I about wrecked the car on the home from the, on the, on the way home from the airport. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I literally, and he gets thrown out at second, and I'm like, this is what you cannot have. This right. is one of your key value things. And now the Royals, I think they've been thrown out 14 times on base, which is tied for the league lead,
yeah.
which is not a stat that this Royals team tends to be a part of.
Nope.
Right? Normally, base running, defense, and speed is what they excel in, which keeps them in games. That happened, then Jonathan India hits a home run. Could have been a walk-off slam, which would have been nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they did it. But the way that I look at what this is that this also gives you the idea that, like, players want to be in Kansas City.
Sure they do, yeah.
Michael Wacha came back. I know right. that maybe that doesn't move your needle either, where you're like, oh, Michael Wacha, 34-year-old vet, been okay this year.
Right.
Seth Lugo's coming back, mm-hmm. didn't want to get traded. I don't know if he wanted to or not, but he's like, you know what, I'll stay here. I don't mind. I'll do it again. And now you have a team that, you know, is also looking at their pitching rotation going, we have Noah Cameron, who was not on the opening day roster.
Right.
Rich Hill,
right.
who was not on the opening day roster.
Or really even a thought of baseball on opening day.
He wasn't assigned to a team.
Right.
He got picked up by the Omaha Storm Chasers and pitched enough. Who knows? Maybe Dallas Keuchel will be here in a week.
That's right.
I don't know. But there's also the point of, like, you were also in a situation where, like, you couldn't really, like, the momentum shifted into Lugo's side, where it was like, I could get traded. I could have a really bad postseason or a really bad last 2 months of the season, and the money I get may not be there. Now, all of a sudden, I'm with the Royals, who are competitive, who have shown us that they want to win, who have shown us that they're giving out money with an owner that actually cares about his team, and I'm going to stick around. Plus, you didn't really have a whole lot of pitching on the roster. So if you did trade Lugo, then you are telling your entire town, your entire system, hey, we are dumping this season. It is over.
Right.
Because you don't have Reagan, you don't have Bubich, you don't have Lorenzen. Those are three guys that were on your opening day rotation. They're gone. And you have to have somebody on the mound to pitch for you. And it can't be Dallas Keuchel. It can't be Rich Hill. It's got to be somebody that can give you some sort of belief, because you're not out of it. You're four games out of the wild card. You're a game behind everybody in front of you. Just keep winning. You've won two series since the All-Star game. You could have won that one against Miami. Unfortunately, you didn't. Would have been a different story where we're at today. Could have yeah. been 3-2.5 out. But again, take care of business against a bad team against Atlanta.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And there's four more days until the trade deadline.
Right. There's
Thursday
a lot to do.
Three.
Right. No, it's 6 o'clock, actually.
It's late.
Yeah, they moved
it
back.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, which is cool. I like that. But I think when you look at what's going on with Seth Lugo, they probably also fielded a bunch of different offers and went, and none of them are as good as, you know, just re-signing Lugo and keeping him here. And they probably went to Lugo with a lot of different options. And they probably looked at him and goes, do you want to be here? He goes, yeah, let's just work out an extension. Him, and that's could be something that they decided to do as well. But I really think it's you know, guys wanting to be here in Kansas City, but also an owner that's willing to pay. And that's another thing that we're also learning to adjust to right now, because for an entire generation we had David Glass, who wouldn't pay for anybody to be in Kansas City for
right.
the most part, right? And now we're seeing guys extended early. We're seeing the Bobby Witt contract. And so if you're one of these fence sitters on John Sherman, or for whatever reason don't like John Sherman as the owner of this franchise, I hate to tell you, you're wrong. I mean, and I will say, your opinion of John Sherman, if it's negative and that he's not the right guy, is a wrong opinion, because we're seeing all of this stuff that John Sherman is doing for this franchise with the Bobby Witt extension, signing Michael Wacha, getting Seth Lugo in here. People forget, too, when John Sherman took over, he told Dayton Moore, go spend money so people know that I'm willing to spend money. And that's when they had Santana and those guys, and the pandemic hit, and so all that kind of went south. But John Sherman is a guy who's willing to invest into this franchise and willing to spend money for this franchise. And that should be, to me, the number one thing that I take away from this is that John's writing checks, man. He's getting ready to announce a new stadium. He's getting ready to write checks for players. Like, it's everything that we've wanted in an owner, and we should all be excited as Royals fans. You may not like the move on the surface because you wanted to trade him to get a bat, but the other hand is John Sherman continues to invest in players in this organization, and that's what we've wanted all along for our team.
And who's to say they're not done, right?
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Take it away, Nathan.
Guys, we'll start right there with the Seth Lugo extension. You mentioned that it might not be waving of the white flag. Give me one word on what the extension now says about the Royals' approach to the trade deadline.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the right word to use. I'm confused, that's why. I don't know. If somebody were to tell me right now what is the Royals' approach, I'm confused is what it is, because it looks like they're in it for 26 and 27, but not for 25, because you didn't trade your best asset for what you need today. Long term, I guess you could say.
My one word would be belief. That this team believes in what it has, the core that it has established, because how many years that the Royals had, they're just pitching, development and pitching. They brought in a new regime, gutted out the old regime, and now all of a sudden they're able to develop pitchers and bring out betterness in these pitchers. It shows me that there is belief. They're not going anywhere. They do believe in this year as well as the next few years. But they believe in this team with Lugo coming back. You know, I saw over the weekend there were reports that Michael Garcia was potentially shopped in New York.
Yeah, him for Jason Dominguez is one of those rumors.
Bubich to Chicago. None of that, right? None of that was there. And like that one clown said earlier in the year that the Mets and Lugo were going to get traded.
Yeah.
Lugo got extended, and J.J. Piccola put his pinky out on his Cabernet and said, "Hold my beer, we're not quite done yet." To think that this team can't get to that point this season, I don't know, man. But look, they're hovering around 500. They're four games out of the wild card. They're a game behind, a game and a half behind everybody in front of them. Gear up, because I don't think they're done yet. So I think there's a lot of belief in the Lugo's extension right before the trade deadline, which you said is Thursday at 6 o'clock. So keep your eyes posted. Watch out for hugs and see if the Royals are the name that comes up.
Something that could prevent a run late in the season. Dusty, you brought this up a second ago. The Royals have ran into 14 outs on the bases. This is not caught stealing. They have ran into 14 additional outs. Yeah, being picked off on the
bases. Tolbert, I think, is four of them.
Leads the major leagues. Tied for the lead. Give me one word about the Royals' base running in 2025.
Stinky.
BBL.
Yeah, BBL stinky. There's no question about that. I mean, like, when you're a small market club, small revenue club, however you want to describe these ball clubs these days, those are the things that you pride yourself on. Those are the things you can control. You can't mess those up. You got to be better on defense, and you really got to be better on the base pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing because it's not you. It's something else. Like, it's always been speed, defense, base running, and seeing that play. Now, luckily, India, you know, picked him up, and that's good to see, but that can't happen. Like, you can't
run into outs,
because you lose the bunt with Mize up to bat. You lose the opportunity of getting that run in and tying it, and then Jonathan India gets dinner for free for the next few, you know, nights from Tyler Tolbert. But it's inexcusable is a word. Disappointing. Uncharacteristic. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's a Tolbert thing, maybe it's a Michael Garcia thing. I don't know what it is, but it's happening way too much, and it shouldn't be, because it's ruining runs.
Yeah, I think uncharacteristic is where I was leaning as well with that one. Ichiro Suzuki, amongst others, went into the Hall of Fame yesterday, where I know we're going to get into some of his quips later in the show today. One word, guys, on the one voter that decided to make Ichiro a non-unanimous selection.
Ass. That guy's an ass. And Ichiro called him out during his speech, which was fantastic. I mean, how do you go to bed at night as a baseball writer of America? Right? Like, that's an alleged honor because you're, you know, you don't know how to dress and you spill stuff all over yourself and you write about baseball for an antiquated newspaper. But yet we revere these guys. And you didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki to go to the Hall of Fame and you're the only one who didn't do it? Ass.
Yeah, I think, man, I want to say I believe there's probably like slight racism there. Because he's the first Japanese baseball player ever in the MLB Hall of Fame. There'll be another one in 10 years. He plays for the Dodgers. But I also want to say it's ridiculous. I mean, I can play you the quote that he said where he called the guy out. It's great. We can play it later on in the show. But it's
baseball taught me what it means to be a professional. And I believe that is the main reason I am here today. Not because my skills are better than others. 3,000 hits or 262 hits in one season are achievements recognized by the writers. Well, all but one of you. And by the way, the offer for that writer to have dinner at my home has now expired.
I love that part.
There's a new drop for the show.
Yeah.
That take has expired. So, yeah, good for Ichiro. I did make sure to watch that. I missed CC's.
CC was good, too.
Yeah. He just always killed us. And I was so glad when he went to Milwaukee and became a power hitter. But, no, it was one word for the writer. I mean, Richard. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it happened to Griffey. It happened to George. It happened to
happened to Jeter. It happened to Robin Yount. Like,
there's always one, man. There's just that got one guy. Yeah. Which I think you should be. Come out and show yourself.
Yeah, and tell us why. Explain. Exactly.
Well, he didn't play his whole career here. Fine.
So what?
I'll take it. At least you put your face out there and said it. That's great. I can disagree with it, but at least I can respect you for being like, I stand on this business and this is where I stand.
Yeah, but that guy, you don't even know who it is. And
we never will.
No, what a coward.
Two more for you guys. One word on the X, the storm that's currently forming, the rumors that are swirling about Deion Sanders and possible health issues leading to him stepping down at Colorado.
Yeah, we're going to have a press conference later on today. It's been called. They announced it, I think, on Saturday that Deion and his medical team were going to address the media today in Boulder, Colorado. And so scary is the word I use because I'm thinking about Deion's health here and all the stuff that he's going to go through. He was talking about making his will the other day, which... 57 years old with all that. He probably should have had a will a long time ago. I'm not here to give you legal advice, but I mean, it's just scary, man. Like, Deion was one of those guys that we all grew up watching. Everybody loved Deion. He was a hero to all of us, man. A guy played football and baseball, was a special, special athlete. I love what he's done in Colorado. So scary for me with this one.
Yeah, it's interesting, man, because I don't know. If I don't know the severity of it, they're going to have a press conference today. Like, we could literally be at 12 o'clock today hearing that Colorado and Deion Sanders has stepped down as head coach
right.
because of his injuries. And I know there will be a lot of people that will say, well, his son's gone and Heisman Trophy winner's gone. But when you see the video of him sitting on a hospital bed going, damn, I need to make a will. That hit me hard. Like,
yeah.
That's one of those things where, like, life fast, right? Like, it's shocking, mm-hmm. I think would be my word, because I thought he would – eventually, like, you know, get past his son and all that being there. But from what we played earlier this morning between us, like, seeing him on that hospital bed in full tears and thinking about what his life will be like once he's gone, not gone as a head coach, but gone as a body on earth and into a soul. Like, it's one of those things. It's really interesting, man, because it's Deion. It's an iconic athlete who's everywhere. And there will be two different storylines. Oh, he's, you know, faking it. And then there's going to be other people like, I hope he's okay, but it sounds like they're
the people who are going to come out and say he's faking this thing. Like, I mean, I know we will.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know we will.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're one of those people who are going to say he's faking an injury if he has to walk away or faking health issues to walk away, you're a fool, man. Like, that's one thing you don't mess with, right? You never claim something's wrong with your health because I don't know about you. I'm a karma guy, right? He's the guy in the Chiefs. And also the guy in Happy Gilmore 2, Brittany. We'll get to that. But for me, like you don't mess with that kind of stuff. You don't announce health issues if you don't have health issues. That is a Richard move. And so the people who think he's going to be doing this just to find a way to get out of Colorado without having his son and Travis Hunter, the conspiracy theory people out there, they stink, man.
No doubt. Happy Gilmore 2 did drop over the weekend, or I guess Friday, whenever you got it. I won't spoil it, but we'll give out some stuff that we thought was interesting of the movie because, of course, there were people that hated it, and I don't understand why.
It's the people who don't like Josh Simmons.
Ah, 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports. On a Monday, a little after 7:45 here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan with you as well. Another guy getting hitched.
Congratulations.
Now it's just down to me, Carrington, and Gold. Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Alex Gold is the thirst trap of the station. There's no doubt about that.
I thought it was Mac. Weren't we saying earlier?
Well, he's
Mac's
Puppy Chow.
There?
No, oh, okay. Cougar Chow. That's what we call him.
And he's locked up.
Yeah.
He's got a contract. Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
But yes. So I don't know how many people out there have watched it yet, but Happy Gilmore 2 is available on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be wholesome, fun, yep, nostalgic, and par for the course, no pun intended.
Right. I mean, I don't know what the expectation was for a lot of people going into this movie, right? Were you expecting it to be Casablanca? Were you expecting it to be, you know, one of the great movies of all time? If that's what you were expecting, then you had the wrong expectation going into it. If you were expecting fun, little slapstick, some great cameos, and just a fun, feel-good, remind you of 30 years ago type of movie, it delivered on everything. And I was telling you kind of this morning, it reminded me of Coming to America 2, right? Where it kind of had everything that you wanted in the movie and, you know, tied up all your loose ends and did the whole nine yards and whatnot. I liked it because I was looking at it from a father's perspective of Adam Sandler doing everything he can to help his kid, you know, get to that dance competition that she needed to get to. And I love that. I thought that was really cool, kind of heartwarming to the whole thing. I thought the cameos were a lot of fun. I thought the movie, it was just a fun movie, man. Like when you sit down and watch a movie, that's what I want. That's what I need in a movie. We were watching it at the lake this weekend at Tammy's Lake House. Great song we wrote about Tammy's Lake House, too, by the way. And we're all sitting around, a bunch of adults, you know, all of us close to 50, watching and laughing and having a good time. And at one point, my friend Ryan's girlfriend goes, God, that guy looks really familiar. Yeah, that's Travis Kelce, Brittany.
You put that juju on me on Speedy?
And so that became kind of the joke of the whole thing is like, oh my God, that's Travis Kelce. But I thought he was great in it, right? Like Travis was really fun. The whole thing was just, it was just so much fun, man.
How many golfers did you recognize?
A lot of them. But then I went back and looked at, like, ESPN did a breakdown of everybody who had a cameo in the movie from a sports perspective, which was fun to look at. And I missed a couple. I Gary Player, I think.
Really?
I think I missed Gary Player being in there. I don't know how I did that. But I'm used to seeing him naked, I guess, in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. But I missed Gary Player in that. And then I think I missed Nancy Lopez as well. Was another one of the golfers that
did
I
you
that
see
I missed.
Paige Sporanek?
No, where was she? I that was the other one. I totally missed
she's
her too.
She's the Dick's Sporting Goods girl.
Oh, okay.
You're like, yep, not okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
In
all
fact,
right.
Binkley went to Dick's Sporting Goods
thinking she was here,
that she works there now. But I thought the golfer's reaction to the film was great.
A little different, out of our element a little bit.
Yeah, very much out of our element.
Pandemonium, I think, is the best way to describe it.
First time in a movie. Here we are.
How can you not do it, man?
That was about as good as that's going to get.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait, I'm actually here doing this movie.
I'm excited to make history again.
Hell yeah.
But it's like you run into it and then you hit it. But I think normal golf's a lot easier.
Scottish Scheffler.
At least we're playing ourselves.
It makes it a lot easier.
This is going to be so ridiculous.
Pretty dang cool to see.
And this scene we're shooting is pretty wild.
Your request hasn't been sent.
Okay, we'll be there.
What a bunch of lunatics.
Oh, I remember all my life.
I'm not sure exactly how I got cast, but I thought it was pretty fun.
I get like goosebumps and almost a little choked up thinking about it.
That was sick. That was so sick.
Y'all just stay tuned.
I had lines, baby. Don't want to miss this.
This is pretty cool.
And I thought it was funny because really the movie, to not give away any spoilers, is a shot at Liv.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Oh, a huge shot at Liv, no doubt.
The cameos are great.
Yep.
I thought one of the more underrated parts that I didn't know, because anytime I saw something on Twitter coming back home, I just ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what role he plays, but Eminem is fantastic.
Very good, yeah.
He was great. Boban, I think that's his name, the tall, like, ogre basketball player. He plays a great role, which is nostalgia for Happy Gilmore, the first one. Bad Bunny's great.
Bad Bunny was really good.
He's great. He kind of almost steals the show.
Yep. I thought the Scottie Scheffler stuff was outstanding as well. Making fun of the arrest and
everything.
All of that was great.
It was great. I thought the movie was it's exactly what it should have been. I know there was a lot of people that were like hating on it. I don't understand.
Of course.
It's fine. It's whatever. If you didn't like it, it's not like it was Space Jam 2 where it was like kind of a completely different film, but with like modern technology. It was actually kind of like the same film, but they put in so many cameos and so many one-liners and so many stories behind the scenes that maybe you didn't know, like Freddie Couples loves sweets, apparently, and they played that out.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher McDonald reprised his role as Shooter McGavin, which I thought was, you know, you live long enough to become the villain or you die a hero.
That's right. And he dies a hero, Steve Buscemi's back in it,
John Daly was great.
John Daly was fantastic.
John Daly
right?
played the exact role that I thought. If you'd have told me what's John Daly's role, I'd have been like, probably this guy that's just, you know, a has-been that gives a bunch of just pointless advice, but you love to hear it. It's exactly what that part was.
Yep.
Adam Sandler was good. It's a really good movie, good music, classic, rock music for Adam Sandler.
It was perfect.
I know that there's people out there like Spectre gave it a B+, Rob Britton gave it a B. I think that's where it sits. To me, if I gave it an overall grade, it's a B. It passes easily. It's not going to blow you away, but it's going to give you an hour and 45 minutes to sit back, relax, laugh, smile, have a few tears at times, and just enjoy. It was a good movie. And I think you would have probably been annoyed with me watching because I'm sitting here going, Spieth, Xander Schauffele, that's Morikawa. I'm just nailing all these golfers. Jim Furyk, right out of the jump. I'm like, that's Jim Furyk flipping off the plane. It was good. It was fine. And I thought it was a good movie that we should have seen. And since it was so many cameos, I asked the question to you in the text line, if you could be a cameo in any type of movie, what would you be?
That kind of movie.
You'd be in a sports
perfect.
Movie?
Yeah, the sports movie, a Happy Gilmore, a slapstick comedy, a Major League, something of that nature. Those are the type of movies that I love. I mean, again, this one hit me perfect. It had all the feels in it, too. I talked about even getting kind of a little emotional with Adam Sandler, doing the things for his daughter. I'm like, I know what that's like. I get that feel. And, so I'm kind of living it through the father side of things. I'm living it through the ha, ha, ha. I'm still a 25-year-old ha 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 having a good time slapstick comedy type stuff. Like it literally gave me everything that I wanted. Get lost in the plot, obviously. It's not an A. We're not going to sit here and say it's an A+ movie, but for the way that I look at movies, it gave me everything that I wanted. My expectation going in was I want to laugh, I want to have some fun, I want to see Travis Kelce, I want to see some cool cameos. And it literally lived up to everything I possibly wanted it. And then you're right, then you get on X, of course, as you always do. People are complaining about Josh Simmons on X. And people complain about all things life when it comes to social media. And
that's what she said.
Yeah, and then you see people complain about that, which was a great.
Yeah,
I mean, you're doing that's what she said jokes in the movie
that don't make sense.
That don't make any sort of sense whatsoever. But 17 Surfsides into the Night or Cayman Jacks, depending on what you drink. Nobody knew exactly what was going on anyway at that point in time. So we were all laughing, but it was great. It was fun to watch as a group. It was fun to watch with people that kind of all watched the original when we were all very young, and now here we are 30 years later enjoying it again. Like it was awesome. I suggest everybody watch.
From the text line, there were 74 total cameos.
That's a hell of a number, man. That's great.
I also love that they played into topics that had happened before in golf, like Will Zalatoris being the caddy when he was in the first movie. It's like, oh, that they played into that as well. They gave so much stuff. Adam Sandler with all the different drinking devices that he has.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious. Yeah. And I thought it was wholesome. I thought it was fun. I thought most people have seen Happy Gilmore, the first one.
Yeah.
When I was on the plane, I thought I had it downloaded, but something went wrong, so I couldn't watch it. So I just went back to the quarterback season 2 or whatever the season it is. And I noticed when I got to use the restroom, there were people of all ages from, I would say, 13 to 60, all on their tablets or their cell phones
watching Happy Gilmore. Yep.
It does it for you, is what I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could be a cameo in any movie. It'd be like a scary movie.
Oh, scary!
But like a funny one.
Oh, like Scary Date Movie.
Yeah, like Scary Movie, the ones they did with the Wayans brothers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Have like a funny cameo where like you're just this off the wall guy that gets murdered in a weird way. You shouldn't go in there. Then you go in there and you come back. I don't know. It's just something like that. But the cameos are great.
Vern Lundquist was great too. I was so good to
Post
see
Malone
Vern.
Was great.
Yeah, Post Malone was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you could just like literally everybody. If you're famous and you didn't have a cameo in this movie, you have to start going like, what did I do wrong here? How come I wasn't included in this thing?
Yeah, from the night. Good.
No, I say, and he also does what he does all the time. Two people complain about it, but his friends are in every movie. And I think that's really cool as well. Like Kevin Nealon being in this thing.
Is there a question there?
Kevin Nealon was perfect for that role.
Yeah, Vern was great.
Vern Lundquist was so good. It was so good to see Vern back, man.
And then the text line from the 913, Bad Bunny was easily the standout in the movie. It was hilarious.
Yeah, he was great.
I love my job.
Yeah.
Grizzly Adams did have a beard. So all those, there's old stuff that gets brought back into the new stuff. And then there's stuff that you've probably seen from out the, if you follow the tour a lot, that's there. And now I think on the Breaking 50 with Bryson DeChambeau, who was also in the movie, we'll have Adam Sandler this week on his YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
Breaking 50. So that should be great. I'll take a half lemonade, half tea. And Arnold Palmer? Yeah. No, I'm Jack Nicklaus. Shout out Travis Kelce for his role. So coming up on the other side, this guy will continue to preach that they are America's team, but we really know who it is. That is next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I'm just nailing all these golfers.